Welcome to the First Baptist Church of Lavernia Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions about what you hear, or if you would like to speak with one of our pastors, you can find all of our contact information at www.fbclv.com.
Check, check, check. Ooh, how about that? That better? All right, so I was thinking, as y'all took 12 minutes to sit down, because that's how it felt, right? In the pews, you just sit down, and it's nice and quiet. But in here, it's one non-negotiable in the new campus. No metal chairs and concrete floors in the worship area. We'd have to add 30 minutes to our service just for standing up and sitting down each time. I'm really glad you're here today, and we don't mind those small things like that because it's such a joy just to be together and to be able to fellowship and love each other and share a meal. And so it's no surprise that this place is full of distractions. There's going to be people coming in and out getting ready to serve. There'll be folks who are showing up 35 minutes late. When they came in those doors, everybody turned to look at them. And then next year, they'll be early. There's going to be little kids making noise and playing and babies crying. All those things are okay. Just ask the Lord to give you just a few minutes of heartfelt attention because I believe with all of my heart that God has something to say to each one of us today. Do you know somebody in your life who's always angry? It doesn't matter what's going on. Sun can shine 67 degrees outside. They're getting ready for a Thanksgiving feast, but for some reason, they're always angry. I've known a few people like that in my life. I got a couple of pictures. So this guy here, he's always angry. This from when I was a kid, Yosemite Sam, and he was always chasing Bugs Bunny, and he was saying, oh, just wait till I get my hands on that rootin', tootin', lying, cheatin' varmint. And he was mad all the time, and he had smoke coming out of his ears. If you don't know this guy, maybe you've seen this one before. So the younger generation, they knows Hulk Smash. My generation knows you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Right? But he's always mad. Maybe for the youngers, you know this fella here. Mr. Anger, the emotion, and everybody has this person inside of them. But what does it take to bring out Mr. Anger inside your mind? Is it when you're driving down the freeway and someone pulls out in front of you and the speed limit's 75 and they drive 35 and all of a sudden Mr. Anger comes out? Is it when you get up after this and you go to fix your plate and somebody bumps into you and you drop your plate on the ground? Mr. Anger. Maybe it's when someone you love is mistreated or they're picked on by other people. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Anger comes out. We're in the middle of a series called Acceptable Sins, and we've been looking at sins that people allow to be in their lives or they partake in as though they are acceptable when Scripture very clearly says they are not. So we looked at anxiety. We looked at idolatry. Last week, we looked at being out of control. This morning, we're going to look at anger. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, two short verses today. We won't be here long. Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27. When is anger acceptable? Number one, anger is acceptable when you have anger without sin. Being good stewards of God's word. If we're in Ephesians chapter 4 today, we need to recap 1, 2, and 3. Paul says he is writing to the saints at Ephesus. He's reminding them that we were all once dead in our trespasses, but praise God, we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. It is a gift of God, nothing that we can own or can be done by our own works. We are all one in Jesus, so we should walk in a manner worthy of that calling with humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. We are to put off the old self. We put on the new self in Jesus. We put away falsehood. We speak truth with one another. And Ephesians 4, 26, be angry and do not sin. This is a direct quote from Psalms 4, verse 4. And I don't know all of your angry levels. Some of you may be very hard-pressed to get upset or to get angry, and it takes a lot. Others in here, it takes very little at all, and you say, between my job and my family and my health and stress, I can go angry from calm to angry in 0.02 seconds. And the question here is not what is your angry speed or how quickly do you become mad or upset about something. The question instead is what makes anger sinful? And so we look to God's word and we see that Jesus was angry, Matthew 21, and Jesus entered the temple. He drove out all those who sold and bought in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." He was angry. Mark 3, verse 4. And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their hearts. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and he was restored. We see Jesus was angry. We see God the Father be angry, especially time and time again with the Israelites. Deuteronomy 9, 8. "Even at Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you, he was ready to destroy you." Exodus 32, 10. "Now, therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation of you." So the question is not, is anger a sin? Because if it were, Jesus would never have been angry and God would have never been angry because they are sinless. So anger in itself is not a sin, but what makes anger become a sin is what the motivation and where it leads you to and what actions, thoughts, and purpose you have that come from that anger. What kind of anger that leads us to sin is one that leads you to make decisions and choices that are acts of disobedience against God and His Word. Anger that leads to sin has the wrong motive and the wrong purpose. Anger that leads to sin is an anger that involves sin. And maybe there's something you're angry about today. You may be cool and calm on the outside, but deep down you are burning up fire, Yosemite Sam, smoke coming out of your ears. And maybe God today would say to you, is that anger righteous? Is that anger good? Or is that anger sinful? How do we know if our anger is sinful and dangerous? Well, when it involves sin or leads to sin. Number two, it has to be an anger that stops if it's going to be righteous. I have unashamedly admitted to you that I am a OCD hand washer. I am unapologetic about it. I think that it is a good practice to have in your life. I wash my hands a lot. When I go to a public restroom, I am very particular about what types of water and soap and paper towels that they have. Usually, most hospitals have good washing stations. I was visiting the hospital a few weeks ago. I walked in. I prefer a water that is automatic because if not, you have to touch the handle and that is full of deadly germs. So automatic, you stick your hand out. The water was nice and warm. It was great. Go to get the soap, automatic soap. It had the really good white foam clean soap. The worst soap in the world is the pink slimy soap that smells like cherry car air freshener. That is of the devil. Good, white, clean. So this is going good. I don't necessarily care if it's an air dryer or a paper towel, but I prefer paper towels, and especially the automatic one. So they had good water, and they had good soap, and then I go to put my hand in front of the paper towel dispenser, and watch what happens here. Maybe you need to watch it one more time. Just for the visual effect, play it for them in case they miss it. I'll stand on this side of the stage. Come on! I did that four times. That's why I knew it would keep doing it. Four times I did that, and it gave me like a 1-inch by 3-inch section of paper. Eventually, I just dried my hands on my pants. It was frustrating, but I wasn't angry. It wasn't an anger that led to sin, and it was an anger that I was very easy for me to just stop. It's just a paper towel. It's not that big a deal, but many situations in our life are a lot more important, a lot more painful, and a lot harder than a short paper towel. And so how do we make sure that that anger doesn't spread? It has to stop. Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on anger. We hear and use this verse a lot when we talk to married couples. And we say one of the keys to your relationship and making sure you keep the peace is don't let the sun go down on anger. And it's not saying that if you're angry at each other when the sun goes down, one of you is going to turn into a pumpkin or one of you is going to be a werewolf. Instead, it's saying you need to make sure that whatever anger you have between you and your spouse or the scripture, you and anyone else, it needs to stop before the next day. You need to let go of it when the sun goes down. And here's the problem that most of us have. We say to ourselves, if I'm upset and if I'm angry about something, I am righteous and I am justified to make sure that I stay angry about that as long as possible because that hurts the person who made me angry and it lets them know that what they did was not right. And that's not how anger works. We have this misconception in the same way about forgiveness. And we say, when somebody hurt me, I'm going to choose not to forgive them as long as possible because then they know what they did was wrong and they feel bad about it. And 9 times out of 10, they don't care. They're not worried about you not forgiving them. They have moved on and have forgotten about you. And so that unforgiveness only hurts you. And it's the same with our anger. I am staying mad. I'm staying mad at that business. I'm staying mad at that person. I'm staying mad about that situation. Because the longer I stay mad, the more justified I am that it was a bad situation. And here's the truth. Listen to me. Staying angry does not make you better. It makes you bitter. Staying angry does not help. It will only make you bitter. And there are times when we say, but my anger is justified. And I'm sure that it is. And my anger may even be righteous. But the longer you allow righteous and justified anger to stay in your heart, the more dangerous it becomes that you'll become hostile and bitter. Paul says, if you're angry, don't sin. That's okay. But don't let that anger carry over to the next day. Not the next month or the next year, not even the next day. Be done with it when you go to bed. Romans 12. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all if possible. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Too often we think my prolonged anger is okay, because if I'm refusing to forgive someone of their wrongdoing, then that makes them feel worse about what they did, and it doesn't make us better. It makes us bitter. Jesus says, forgive those, and he'll make all things right. He says, don't hold on to that anger. Because it makes you feel like what happened was wrong. What happened was wrong. But letting go of that anger will only help you work through it. Don't let that anger stay with you and become a poison to your heart and to your soul or lead you to a place of sin. Number three, we have to make sure that our anger doesn't spread. There was a young man who was working at the airport, and he was in charge of collecting the bags from the customers. And as the people were coming through, there was one man who was in a really bad mood. He was very upset. He was very angry. And he just yelled at that baggage handler, and he cursed at him. He screamed at him. He belittled him, said everything you could imagine, and it was absolutely unnecessary. And so after that man had given his bags and walked off, another woman came up. She goes, sir, I am so sorry. I don't know that man, but he was so rude to you, and it was so uncalled for. How do you just keep smiling and keep working when people treat you like that? And he says, ma'am, it's really not that difficult. He says, you see, that man, he's going to New York, and I'm sending his bags to Brazil. I know, man, because I got him back. He just thinks he got me. Watch this. How do we make sure that our anger doesn't lead us to a place of vengeance or payback when that is not God's will for us? Verse 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Have you known someone that anger and bitterness and hatred has overtaken their hearts? At one point, they were full of joy and peace and love. Now they're full of pain, sorrow, envy, and darkness? Have you seen a situation where a text message was read the wrong way, or an email and what should have been just a clearing up of communication ended up being World War III? Have you seen when someone takes something that you said or that you did and it hurt their feelings and it broke a relationship? It's taken out of context. It's a miscommunication. It should be no big deal, but it is the biggest deal. That's because Satan finds the spark, and then he fans that spark of anger, and then he pours fuel on that fire, and it becomes an explosion. Don't allow Satan to cause division or to influence your actions. And here's how to make sure that you do that. Don't let your anger lead you to a place of sin. Don't let that anger be held longer than it should. And certainly don't let that anger spread into your heart and to your life. And someone said, well, you know, when I get angry, I'm just like a shotgun. And then I'm, boom, I blow up, and then it's all done. So it's very quick, so surely that's not so bad. And yet blowing up in anger is just like a shotgun. It's an explosion that happens very quickly, but it leaves so much damage behind. Aristotle says, anybody can become angry, but to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, in the right way. Now that is not easy. I don't know where your hearts sit today. Maybe some of you would say, anger is not something that I feel, that I really struggle with. And so maybe God's preparing you for a situation that is about to come where you're going to be angry. Not too long ago, we talked about the words that come out of our mouths originate in our hearts. And we had one of our church members reach out and say, I'm so thankful for that message because I had a couple of doctor's appointments that were spread from here to there that had been planned out and everything was ready, and they got canceled that morning. And everything within me wanted to yell and scream and gripe and complain. And I remember what comes out of my mouth originates in my heart. So I showed grace, I showed compassion, and then the Lord works it out and got me back in on that same day. And so maybe this is a message for you that when the anger comes, don't let it lead you to sin. When the anger comes, don't let it linger over to the next day. When the anger comes, don't let it spread throughout your heart and throughout your mind. For others here today, you've been mad since the day you were born. It doesn't matter what happens, you are always angry and you are always upset. And today, God wants you to hear this. You're not created to be angry all the time. And so what do you need to let go of? Or how does God need to change your heart so you have more joy, more peace, and less angry? Still some others here today, myself included, wonder, why is it of all the things in the world that Pastor Josh could speak on, would it be anger on a Thanksgiving service? Chad and I sat down and we were going over the scriptures, and as we looked through the calendar, he says, hey, it looks like you're scheduled to preach on anger on the Thanksgiving service. Did you do that on purpose? No. But the Lord sets our schedule. And so in February of 2022, the Lord said anger was the message for today. And I don't know why, but I know that God doesn't make mistakes. And so maybe it's because this is one of the few services that we have both time worships all together in one. And maybe you're a first service and there's somebody in second service that you're angry with. Or maybe you're a second service or someone in first service that you have hard feelings towards, and God wanted you to both be in the same room so that you could reconcile today. Maybe it's because God needed you to hear something about something you're angry about, and he wants you to know it's time to let that go because it's leading you to a place you don't need to be. Maybe you are so consumed with anger, you don't know how to be thankful anymore. And so God wants you to hear this, let the anger go. Forgive and be forgiven, and then enjoy thankfulness again in your heart. In a moment, we're going to ask you to come and to bring commitment cards for our next capital campaign. I'll tell you more about that. Maybe you're angry about the capital campaign. Maybe you're angry that we didn't start building 10 years ago. Maybe you're angry that you've already given and you don't want to give anymore. Maybe you're angry that you know someone who has prayed for and given to this campaign and God's called them home and they won't get to see it on this side of eternity. And God, I want you to remind you today that his provision, his timing are absolutely perfect. There's nothing to be angry about, but only more opportunities for us to trust in him. Last week, I walked out into our garage, and there was a little basket that I needed to set up on a top shelf. So I grabbed the basket, and I set it up on the top, and it fell back down. It had some things that were misweighted inside. I picked it up again, and I set it back up in the air, and when I did, this bottle was sitting up on the shelf, and that basket hit this bottle, and it fell down in just the right way to where it hit me right on the edge of the nose. In that moment, I wasn't angry. I wasn't upset. I didn't call that bottle names that shouldn't be said out loud. A few weeks ago, I did say the word S-T-U-P-I-D, though, and I apologize to the young ears that that is a bad word at the school or their household. So this bottle fell and it hit me in the nose. No big deal. I kept doing a few things out there, and then I saw some red drops on the ground. Saw some red drops on my shirt. And I went to wipe my nose, and then I had blood all over my fingers. And so blood on the ground, blood on my shirt, blood on my fingers. We got some pictures to show y'all. Now, I'm just playing. I'm not showing you that. No blood. We got to eat in a minute. And so apparently that bottle had fallen at just the right angle and the right velocity where it just sliced the side of my nose open. And apparently my main artery of my body runs through the side of my nose. And so my wife came out to the garage. It looked like I had been attacked by like a pack of bats. What happened to you? I don't know. This bottle just fell and it sliced my nose. And then here comes the waterworks. That wasn't something that was hard for me to not get angry about. It was simple. It was easy. I didn't lose sleep that night going, that stupid bottle got me. I didn't wake up the next day and take the bottle outside and shoot it with a shotgun because I was still upset at it. It didn't lead me to a place of sinfulness and it didn't permeate through my body. I was very easily able to let that go, but that's not usually how anger works. It's not easy just to let it go. It's not easy not to hold on to it. And so Paul says, hear these words of encouragement. When you feel an anger, be very, very cautious that you don't let it lead you to a place of sin. You got to make sure that anger has a stopping place, and that stopping place is when you go to bed. You're not allowed to hold it over until the next day. Don't let that anger spread through your heart and your mind like a poison, because if you do, that is an unacceptable sin.